Our scripture reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown into the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to be turning 45 in a couple weeks, and I noticed that I've gotten to the age where you start buying a bird feeder. Having lived in the city, you know, for a couple of years prior, one of the first things I loved about this parsonage, this beautiful parsonage here in Plattsburgh, is that you can hear the birds. Living in the city, I heard a lot of things, but birds were not on the top of the list. And you know, I've been learning all the different types of birds, you know, that I've been seeing. I've started to listen to the sounds that they make, and I'm starting to sort of identify them, which is kind of cool. There are only a few places in the world where there are not birds. I understand it to be the interior of Antarctica and places of the ocean, open ocean. And even then, there's a bird once in a while. But largely, those are the two places where there are not birds. Every continent has birds. Every major civilization has lived with birds. And unless Dad has seen something on the nature programs, where there are not any birds, but Dad is a nature, he watches PBS Nature, so it kind of made me insecure for a moment. But I think the only place that there's not is the middle of Antarctica and the middle of the ocean. And so it's no surprise then, given that birds are so prevalent in all civilization and places, that the Bible mentions birds hundreds of times. And Jesus had a way of bringing them to our attention, like he did so many other unnoticed things, things like birds and seeds and weeds in today's passage. So if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that our readings have been from the Gospel of Matthew. Here in midsummer, when everything is green and growing, the lectionary takes us through the teachings of Jesus in Matthew about growing as disciples. Discipleship is about learning and growing together in Christ. And so that's where Jesus brought his disciples together. He went into a boat and he talked to them while he was in the boat on the sea, and they were gathered on the shore. You see, the bowl-shaped beach and the acoustics of the water would have been a perfect natural amphitheater for Jesus to speak to the hundreds of people that had gathered to hear him. And so this is where he taught the parable of the sower. "Listen," he said, "a farmer went out to plant her crop somewhat haphazardly. Some seeds had landed on a footpath, but nothing grew there, and so the birds came up and ate them before they were even able to grow. Some fell on rocky soil, and they grew up quick, but then they withered away because they couldn't take root and grow. And then another batch ended up falling among thorns, and they didn't make it either. But only one small batch of seeds fell on good soil, and that brought forth a bountiful harvest. Jesus said some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. That's nearly about three-fourths of the seeds cast were unsuccessful. It seems like the planting was done quite carelessly. The farmer sowed seed on, well, just about everything but the asphalt. What a miracle that anything grew at all. I mean, the good soil made all the difference in the world. That harvest from one small batch of grain made up for all the seed elsewhere that was lost. Now, we skip a portion of the scripture, several verses where Jesus explains why he teaches in parables. But then back in verse 18, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable of the sower. We don't have to figure this one out. When someone hears about the kingdom of God and doesn't understand it, the devil snatches it away quickly. That's what it means to have the seed sown on the footpath. The seed sown on rocky ground represents the one who hears the word of God but doesn't take root, and it falls away. The thorns represent the cares and distractions of the world that squeeze faith out of our daily lives. But the good soil, Jesus said, is the one who hears and understands, bears fruit, and yields an exponential harvest. Well, Jesus explained it. End of sermon, right? Well, just a little bit more. Little doubt, Matthew's audience would have wondered, what soil am I? Is my heart a footpath? And maybe I have received or heard or embraced the joy of God, but I haven't let it take hold and take root and grow. Maybe they wondered, am I the rocky soil, once excited about my faith or my call to ministry, but nowadays everything seems to have me questioning. Not that it's bad soil. Jesus did not call this bad soil. It happens. It's a season. Or maybe I'm like the thorny soil. All the stuff in my life has squeezed out my faith. I have no time for devotions or church or for service or for sharing my gifts with others and working toward justice and healing. Again, not bad soil. It just is. It's a season. It's not very fruitful. I bet you if they wondered if they were the Miracle-Gro. You know that good river bottoms farmland that sells for like $11,000 an acre? That's the kind of soil that faith permeates your everyday life. You don't just go to church on Sunday and check the box. Faith drives everything in your thoughts, your habits, your choices. It guides you when things get rough. When we get to this point, when we have fertile soil, that's when we begin to ask, how can we multiply God's kingdom? Well, every time I've heard this parable, I've jumped to the question, what soil am I? And we've sang good soil, and it's a great question to ask. But Jesus did refer to this parable specifically, not as the parable of the soil or the good soil, but the parable of the what? The sower, yes. So lest we think that the parable, this harvest, was only about good seed or good soil, we've missed a fundamental part of this parable, the sower, which Jesus names the parable after. You see, lest we make this scripture or in any scripture about ourselves, you know, again, I want to reiterate that it's a good question. What soil am I? And it's good to consider. But first and foremost, I think we need to consider the wonderful sower, which is God. Jesus's parable of the sower reminds us that God is in control. Our world is a hostile place to learn and teach and grow the gospel. We know that. It is hard to be the church these days. Lots of trampled, rocky, and thorny soil. And yet God, the sower, graciously, generously, and quite carelessly, I might add, is casting the gospel in all places. And I mean, I just think after reading this and dwelling on this week, I am so thankful that Jesus teaches us about a Heavenly Father who sows seeds of grace and compassion upon me when my soil is anything but miracle grow. You get me? You see, God never gives up. God is really quite, God cares for us so much that he's casting quite carelessly upon all, whether you're ready or not to receive it. It's a miracle that God manages to grow anything in the first place, but he does. And when it happens, the results are goosebumps, miraculous, right? You've seen it. When your soil is ready to receive, you can really experience the presence of God quite immensely. So first and foremost, let us celebrate that God is the good sower. This is the parable of the sower. And I'm thankful that God is like the sower in Jesus's parable, casting seed, not just on those who we deem to have good soil, but also, it seems like a lot, on the barren, the rocky, the thorny soil, in hopes that, but maybe one seed will take hold and grow. That's what God does. God casts his seed of word and grace, not just on the good parts and the fertile parts and those that are all prepared and ready to grow, or God doesn't just cast his seed on the good parts of town, whatever that is. God especially casts his seed on the barren places of our lives and in our hearts, in the food kitchens, in the food pantries. We see a lot of God there, I think, Vi and Connie and Joe. In hardened hearts that are full of grief, in war-torn areas, in places in the need of immigrants and migrants, this is where God loves to work. In the places where the soil isn't fertile, in the places where we feel barren or dry or rocky or thorny, this God is still sharing the seeds of his love and his grace upon us, whether or not we or someone else is either ready or deemed worthy to receive it. That's the goodness of God, I believe, in the parable of the sower today, is that God is a risk taker. God is willing to take risk and really to cast his grace and his love in places that we humans would dare not worthily go. God cares so much that God is careless by the world standards. God would not make a good horticulturalist. God just cast his seed every single place, just haphazardly, and by God, the small place that was fruitful, it grew. And also, we can remember that soil can change and get better over time. It can also get more barren, too. Which makes me wonder, is there any place or any circumstance that God won't go to try to reap an abundant harvest? Is there any heart that is too hardened or thorny or rocky that God won't try every single day haphazardly and carelessly and carefully to share? You know, like growing plants take light and water. You know, we talk about, am I the good soil and all of that? A wonderful question, but I think the first one is, do you need a good grower? And this is the parable of the sower, and we must not forget that first and foremost, God is a good sower, and God seems to know what God is doing. We can trust that this is the foundation of this parable, is that God is in control. And I think that when we think about what soil we are before we trust that God is the good sower, well, we put the cart before the horse. And so I think every day we must pray and worship and serve God in order to first receive his word. And then when we see what God has given us, then we set out and nurture it. Because God is the good sower, God has a way with things of working in that barren soil and rocky soil, whether it be in someone else or really quite frankly in our hearts each day. And I believe, you know, that God is a good sower has set us all in a place to be fruitful. God seems to be able to cast the seeds of his grace and love, and even in this fertile, or whether the soil is fertile or rocky or thorny, God has a way of growing things. I used to grow orchids, used to. They are very delicate, finicky little things. You don't want to give it too much water, but you don't want it to get too dry. The soil has to be particular. It likes sun, but not too much sun. It kind of likes bright daylight, but not direct daylight. I can grow a lot of things, but not an orchid. They're finicky, but there are other plants I can seem to grow just fine. Yet God seems to know what God is doing when it comes to growing. And I believe that God has set us here in these times and in these circumstances, whatever soil we may be in, so that we can grow and be fruitful. We can trust in God's love and provision and that God gives us every day that we need so that we can thrive. And second, as we till and as we work the soil of our hearts and our community, we can see and expect that God is fruitful. I believe that good days are ahead of us here at Broadway as we remember this, that God is a good sower. God knows what God is doing. And though the challenge is tough for us, it seems, at times, still we must remember growing isn't also about numbers. It's about being flexible and caring and daring and really sort of careless who we fling open our arms and our doors to, just like God. And what I also think is so powerful in our scripture today is, well, something I hadn't thought of before when I preached this is that, well, even the birds got some of the seed. And birds that were so common and mentioned all throughout scripture, sometimes in derogatory ways, but sometimes in very joyful, freeing ways, even the birds made out with God's grace, with the seeds of God's presence. And so I think God's love is so radically available and open to all. We don't know what happened to the birds, to those seeds. They got eaten, but we know how nature works. Maybe that wasn't the end of the story. At any rate, whatever it was, even the birds received the grace of God. And so for us, I think our challenge today is to celebrate that God is so wildly, carefully careless that God is flinging wide the seeds of his love and his grace, and we can all receive it. And yes, if we answer, question for our hearts, what soil am I? But I think for today, let's just celebrate a God who is casting his love and his grace upon us on the days when the seed of our heart, the soil of our heart is rocky. Some days when it is thorny, when we have a ton of cares, when we are feeling very barren like a footpath. And yet there are other days where we are so fruitful, and those are the days that we shine. And so we have a God who is a great sower and who is calling us to keep on keeping on sowing those seeds of grace and love, flinging them wide into our community and looking for all the places where we can do so. And not just those who we deem worthy of it or who are ready to receive it, as far and wide as we can, because that's why we are here. Every day we rely upon a God who is caring and loving and graceful and flings wide the grace of his love. I think I saw that 2 weeks ago when I joined the youth on Methodist on a mission. And I just was so impressed by all the ways that they served and flung wide the seeds of God's grace and mercy. And we don't know what happened to those seeds that were casted. But we do know and we trust that God is a good sower and God directs their path and good things will come from it. And so I wanted to ask Kyle to come forward and share just a little bit and share a few pictures about Methodist on a Mission and really the ways that we saw the seeds of God's grace and love cast wildly.
Yes, like Michael said, 2 weeks ago, we gathered in Independence. There were 8 youth, 3 youth leaders, 2 pastors, and 2 college-age kids, and we gathered to help sow seeds in Independence, Kansas City, and here in Plattsburgh. We had a lot of fun, but we also did a lot of really good work. I am so incredibly proud of our eight youth that joined us this week, all girls, which was an interesting adventure, but reminded me that they can... It's not going to slow them down. Like, things aren't going to stop them. And they were amazing. Some of the projects that we did this year, we met Mary, who is a member of St. Mark's there in Independence. We helped clean out her fence line, some of which might have been poison ivy. Well, that was an adventure. We went down to Independence Boulevard Christian Church and helped in their Micah Ministries. If you haven't heard of Micah Ministries, it is this amazing function that they do right there just off of 24 Highway, where every single Monday night they feed approximately 1,500 people there in Kansas City. Their main dining room is carpeted. And has seen better days. So we got our hands on some carpet cleaners and scrub brushes and went to town. And Sophia can attest, it definitely smelled better by the time we were done. We also helped at Central Christian Church and Moore Squared. They are in a underrepresented part of town which has fallen on hard times because an unresolved gas leak has caused increased cancer rates in their neighborhood. And the city, unfortunately, has turned a blind eye. And so they are working to fight for justice, fight for information, and get the word out to those affected. We also helped a woman. We met Jody here in Plattsburgh, where we came against our new arch rival, this gigantic pool liner, yes, who we've called Shrimpy. That is what we've called it now, because we literally, it was this massive thing, and the 12 of us, plus a few people that I called for reinforcements, put our backs into it, and were able to push, oh gosh, what would you say, probably 700 pounds, 800 pound pool liner from her backyard into the dumpster. And then not only that, but with other things in her backyard, we filled the entire dumpster. We wrapped up the week at Harvesters, where we packaged and bagged up. Yes, that's the dumpster. There is proof. We literally filled the dumpster. We wrapped up the week at Harvesters, where we bagged potatoes and sweet potatoes. If you're unfamiliar with Harvesters, Harvesters does amazing work. They give food to thousands of food pantries across Kansas and Missouri. Many, many, many people rely on the food that they provide, including, I believe, we get food for our food pantry from Harvesters as well. So people here in our community are impacted by that. We had the opportunity to bag up sweet potatoes and potatoes. We filled probably about three pallets full of bagged up potatoes. So again, we had amazing work. We all together did probably close to 200 hours of service in that week time. And whew, those girls were amazing.
Kyle led them in worship every night, and so they had a worship service that Kyle crafted the theme completely, and so that was the front there. So he should be commended for that, and also just organizing all the activities. It was quite a week. We were able to, we served in places that were familiar and some places that were very much out of our comfort zone, and I just thought it was very powerful. So special thanks to Kyle, really, for really organizing this. It was a great program. The kids had a great time. So there's some pictures there. I don't know if we got a picture. I called it the blob, Shrimpy.
Shrimpy.
Is a.
It's buried under there. I know I have a picture. I don't know that we have a picture there on the slideshow.
It was like, I don't, it was like the, The dust from a star, it was astronomically heavy for its size. It was just ridiculous. Thanks for a great week. So it is a God who continues to fling wide the portals of his mercy and grace and calls us to do the same. And guys, we're doing it. I'm proud of us for our work, flinging wide the mercy of God's grace, whether those it is given to those whose soil is ready and fertile, or whether even all the way to the birds, for people that we don't think deserve it, they do. So thankful for the ways that God's love is being known here in our community and beyond. Now let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you share with us your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sharing it with us, even the days when our hearts are barren and rocky and thorny. Lord, give us to be fertile soil, that we may be fruitful and multiply your kingdom so that the world may know of your gracious love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.